When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And today we continue Gore Girl Summer with an interview that you are not going to want to miss.
Gore Girl Summer.
That I can guarantee. I know we always say this is our favorite interview and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just because each successive interview gets better and better, in my opinion.
We got great Gore Girls.
Great Gore Girls. And we got a great Gore Girl for you today as well. This is somebody who's been in the pit for a minute, by the way. She very openly discusses that, which was fantastic. But you're going to love hearing who we got for you. But before we get to that, we have just a bit of business. As you know, we have a new beautiful logo for our program called Game of Roses. It's something we worked very hard on. We're happy to finally have it. And it is available now for everyone to adorn themselves with on a brand new t-shirt. You go to gameofroses.co and you can pick up whatever size you like. There's a couple of color options and you're going to be able to have these t-shirts ready to wear for the premiere of the Windeckia season, which is not that far away. Every passing day, it gets closer.
It's coming up sooner than you think. You know, we've been in Gore Girl Summer for a while.
I feel like we're never going to be out of Gore Girl Summer. I think it's just going to be something we do year round at this point. But
Gore Girl Summer is a state of mind. And pick up your new t-shirt for yourself, for your creatures. I mean, you don't want to be at your watch party with no merch.
You definitely want to be able to walk into a watch party and proudly display this logo emblazoned across the front of this t-shirt. And everyone who's in that watch party is going to be like, what the fuck is that? And then you get to tell them. You get to drag them deep into the bottom of the pit and explain to them all that what you're about to watch is a professional sport. It is a game of roses.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, because first you get the gift, the t-shirt, then you get the gift of the friendships that are going to happen when you're peacocking with this core merch.
Who knows? It may even land you a soulmate.
Friendship was the destination all along the journey. The journey was the friendships and the romance we made along the way. Gameofroses.co.
Okay. And we will be back, of course, later this week with a Twibbon. But right now, for you, we cannot be more excited to proudly present the next iteration of Gore Girl Summer in this very special...
Welcome to the pit.
Today, we are joined by a standout player from the highly controversial season 25 of The Bachelor, who would later go on to touch sand on BIP season 7. She's a model. She's one of the strongest parasocial players the game has ever seen. She's a member of one of the most powerful organizations in the history of our beloved game, the Women's Union of season 25. We are humbled and honored to have with us today in the pit, Chelsea Vaughn. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so happy to be officially welcome to the pit. I've been in the pit, like on the low, but it's nice to be officially welcomed.
We remember some of your posts that let us know about that. Yeah. The post that shall not be named.
Yeah, no, I first discovered you guys when I did my first viral TikTok, actually, when I announced that I was on the show. Mm-hmm. And then you guys nominated me for PPOTW, and that's when I found you guys.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, a beautiful origin story. I love this. We have to come back to that. Chelsea, you have 117,000 Instagram followers. Do you know where this puts you on the all-time leaderboard?
Oh my gosh, I have no idea, but I can't wait to hear it.
Number 142. Right between Bachelor Season 24 Resurrection player Alea Benavides and Season 22 FIMP recipient and package deal player Chelsea Roy.
Oh, that's Chelsea and Chelsea right next to each other.
In the 100 numbers, that's pretty good. This is out of, you know, thousands.
Okay, I'll take it.
Not 1,000.
So we're going to get to all of your parasocial plays and everything that you did in game. But before we do that, we always like to ask all players about what made them who they are. And that starts, at least in my mind, with what you watched growing up. Were you into reality TV? Were you watching sitcoms? What was your kind of media experience as a kid?
I definitely was into reality TV. Like I was born in 1992. So when I grew up, I was like watching America's Next Top Model, like The Real World. Yeah. Like that's what I grew up on. I mean, I also watched sitcoms like, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Moesha and stuff like that. But yeah, I definitely did grow up on reality TV for sure. And I watched The Bachelor. So
what was your first season of The Bachelor? Do you remember that you watched?
I think it was like right around when The Bachelorette started.
Season one of Bachelorette?
Maybe not season one. When was that? What year?
2003.
Okay. I would have been like 11. Yeah, it was probably around then when I watched Juan Pablo and like, who was Bachelor before that?
Season 18.
Chris Soules, Ben Flagnick.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, I watched Chris Soules. Maybe he was first.
Okay.
Yeah, but I watched it with like my mom and my sister and stuff. And like when I was in college, we used to have like Bachelor watch parties. Like it was a big deal back then.
So you were a student of the game. I mean, maybe not overtly, but you were taking in that media and you were understanding the structure of the game. Like by the time you went into the show, you knew what a first impression rose was, what night one was, group dates, one-on-ones. You knew all of it, the structure.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely had watched it.
Okay.
Wait, can we go back to ANTM for a second?
Yes.
My first job or internship was at UPN.
What?
And I worked in the media relations department. And I went to their like huge event and I was 15, like I had braces, but I like went up to several of the ANTM people who were there.
That is the coolest first job. That's the coolest first job I've ever heard of. Oh my God. I wanted to be on America's Next Top Model so bad. That was my dream.
I bet.
I was like, okay, when I turn 18, I'm applying for the show. And I did. and I was in college, and I made it past like two different rounds. I submitted like a home videotape, and then I got cut right before the part where you go meet Tyra in LA.
Oh, whoa.
They're idiots.
I know. Tyra's loss.
When I was 15, and I'll just say I wasn't born in 1992, a little earlier, my first job was working at Blockbuster Video. Not quite as cool, but I did also have braces.
My first job was working at Abercrombie in the mall. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that new Abercrombie doc. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I watched it. It's funny because I know a lot of people, like most of my friends, we all worked there in the mall, and the documentary is all about like their racism and how they only picked like pretty people and they put all the black people in the back. And I'm like, I started at that job, like right after, when you watch the documentary, there's like a whole lawsuit and then they have to start hiring people of color because they're basically like being watched. And that's right when I started working there.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I know.
I was always too scared to go in that store. I was not cool. There was like too much. The music was so intense and it was dark and scary.
So you watched Bachelor growing up. Did you have, or what is your first memory of social media? What was your first account that you had? When was that? And when did you kind of become aware of the fact that like, oh, this could also be a job?
So my first social media account, are we counting like AIM, like AOL?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I had AIM. And then I had Facebook, but it was back when Facebook first started and you were only allowed to be on it if you were in college. Mm-hmm. So like people in my grade were lying about their age so that we could get on Facebook. And then eventually they changed it to high schoolers. So I got my first like Facebook account in 2006, I think. And then Instagram, I think I got it in 2012.
Okay.
So.
And did you know immediately with Instagram, like I need to get a bunch of followers, I'm going to turn this into a job, or were you just on it for fun?
I was definitely just on it for fun until I started modeling full time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided to make an Instagram just for modeling. So that's when I was trying to like actually get followers. Before that, it was just like, okay, I'm on here to post pictures of me and my friends, whatever.
Right.
And I actually had another account because my last name is actually not Vaughn. So my middle name is Vaughn. And so when I decided to start modeling, I was like, I want my brand to be Chelsea Vaughn. And so I made a Chelsea Vaughn Instagram. And then that's when I started this account that I have now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I never planned on being on The Bachelor. That just came out of nowhere.
Right.
But now it was kind of like, all right, well, now I got to stick with the Chelsea Vaughn thing. So here we are. But it wasn't until I made the move to the Chelsea Vaughn.
Is the real last name secret?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't said it publicly. I kind of like no one knowing except for like my actual friends.
You're like an undercover CIA operative or something. Yeah. The whole Bachelor thing just like a scam to you're doing some real actual like deep secret government work.
This is going to be the new Netflix documentary.
Chelsea Vaughn's last name.
Speaking of The Bachelor, how did you get into the game? Were you nominated? Did you apply? Did producers reach out to you?
I actually applied. I was one of the few on my season that applied for the show, which I didn't even realize. Like, I knew people got nominated, but I didn't realize like a lot of people were being reached out to from casting until I got there. And we were all kind of like, oh, hey, how'd you guys end up here? And everyone, like me and Abigail were the ones that were like, we applied. And then everybody else pretty much was like, oh no, somebody asked us to be here. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, everyone else was recruited?
Okay, not everyone else, but like the majority, I would say. And then some people were nominated.
Wow.
Yeah. But
interesting.
I never planned on being on the show. Like, I never would have applied if it wasn't Matt James. Because like I said, I watched the show. Like, I never saw myself going on for like Colton or or Peter.
What do you mean?
Why not? Think those would have been great matches.
Right?
When did you find out it was Matt James? And did you know who he was from Quarantine Crew and from Tyler Cameron and all that?
Yeah, I watched Hannah Brown's season. And I feel like right after that, her and Tyler, and they were all in the Quarantine Crew. So like, I feel like everybody saw that on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I knew he was like friends with them. I didn't know anything else like about him, really. And then when they announced him, I think it was in like May or something. I don't know. It was that summer.
I think it was Friday, June 12th.
You think?
Okay. Well, it was in June. And then I applied for the show in July.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think that's like, it's funny to me that you end up working at Abercrombie & Fitch after they've had this whole scandal. And then basically Matt James is cast because the show has been put into this whole scandal of like the Black Lives Matter right. movement is taking off. And they just reflexively, they're like, Matt James is the next Bachelor. They just like post his picture in right. a way that they had never, an announcement they had never made the next Bachelor like that.
Right. I keep finding myself at the end of these scandals.
Yeah. There seems to be a pattern here. But they do have the most diverse cast in Bachelor Nation history for this season.
Yes.
But Bachelor Data, through a massive amount of work, basically realized that the players got a different amounts of screen time proportionate to whether they were women of color or not. So yeah, that was a fascinating thing to come out of that.
I followed Bachelor Data when the season was on and I had to unfollow them just because it was like making my skin crawl. Like I really upset me just to see it in print like that.
Totally.
Because it was just like, oh, yay, yeah. I'm happy to be on like first Black Bachelor season, a historic season. Like we have the most diverse cast, amazing women. And then when you see it in black and white like that, I was just like, oh my God. Yeah.
That I think is like one of the strengths of Bachelor Data is there's no arguing around that. Like in past eras, you know, when Chris Harrison would get interviewed about like, well, when are you going to have the first Black Bachelor? And he'd be like, well, it's not about that. It's about finding the right Bachelor. It's like, no, here's the numbers now, asshole. Like this is what it's about. This is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Night one, you are limo exit number 5. You're in the first limo, which I feel like is generally a good sign. I don't know whether it was actually shot that way or not. But you perform a limo exit, which we call the blandy, which you're just like, I hope we get to know each other. I hope we make history together. And he seems visibly interested in you and says she's wearing that dress. Excellent dress, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you have any sort of gimmick or anything else planned? Or were you just like, I'm going to wing it?
I thought about it, of course, because I've seen the show. So I was like, okay, obviously I want to stand out, whatever. But it's really not my personality to like do something crazy. So I ultimately was like, okay, I think this dress is pretty sick. I'm a runway model. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is going to be one. And I'm just going to walk up to him wearing couture as a 6 foot tall woman with a shaved head. And I think I'm going to stand out regardless. So that's what I did.
Did you think about wearing like super high heels to tower over him?
That would have been a power move. Yes. I was wearing heels, but I would have had to wear like, he's 6'5", I think.
Yeah.
I would have had to wear like 7-inch heels to pull that off.
That would have been awesome. I'm just saying, I think that would have been one of the greatest limo exits in the history of the game. But you finally get into the show.
She's trying to find love, Tad.
Well, you know, there's also Instagram followers to think about, et cetera, et cetera. But in week one, you are in an ITM describing Nemacolin by saying, welcome to the Matteau. You do a little pun with Matt's name. Was that you or did the producers script that a little bit?
That was me. That was me nice. And the girls. We when we are walking in, we just named it the Matteau.
Oh, fantastic. I'm always curious about that. It's a great play.
Well, the actual place we were staying in was called the Chateau. Mm-hmm. So that's where Matteau came in, you know, little pun. Yeah.
Your first group date is on week one. It has 18 players on it. The biggest date in history.
Yeah.
And it is an artistic endeavor group date, a wedding shoot with Franco LaCosta. Did you know this was a repeat of the exact same date also with Franco LaCosta from season 21?
What did they do on season 21? Paint? The exact same thing in wedding dresses?
Not the paint thing, but they had a bunch of players come out, get in different wedding dresses, and then Franco LaCosta shot them with the great one, Nick Vial.
Oh, the one where Corinne took her top off in the pool.
Yes, that exact one.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it looked familiar.
Okay. Well, as you just alluded to, this is a little different in that the date turns into arguably a forced violence group date at a certain point where they tell you guys all to go into the woods and play this weird game of capture the flag where you're in the bridal dresses still, but you're throwing paint on each other. What is it like in that moment where you're like, I'm in the show, I'm doing pretty good. And then the producers are like, and now fight for our entertainment. What, like, are you and the other players talking at all about how weird this is or like how you can get out of it?
Yeah. So I think that's when it really hit me that I was like on the show. I don't know. Something about the first group date, because it was so many women. They kept being like, this is the largest group date in history. And I was like, that's not like exactly exciting for me. Like, okay, cool. Let's make history here, but not ideal. So like the first part of the date, when we had to do the photo shoot part, I was like, okay, cool. Like some girls were like really nervous about doing a photo shoot and taking pictures in front of people. And I was like, okay, sweet. Got this in the bag. I do this for a living. Cool. But then.
Did you sabotage other people with telling them to make different faces?
I didn't. But then like, obviously they surprise us with the twist and say like, there's more to the date. Okay. Never would I have guessed that we were going to go tackle each other in the woods. So yeah, that part was, we were all unhappy and it was cold. Like I was freezing and I can't when I'm cold. So I was very, very unhappy. And then I was on the losing team and I was like, you know, sometimes they say like losing team's not going to get time and they give it to them anyway. So I was like, okay, maybe. And then they really were like, nah, y'all are going home. And I was like, oh my God, after all of this that we just did.
It was too many players. I mean, we'll get to another group date later where that exact thing happens. You were on the kind of opposite end of that, but
well, yeah, I was there.
Yeah. No, but you made history. You were on the date that had the least amount of talking with the lead ever.
Yeah. But it was historic too, because you did get that nice moment where Franco LaCosta gets up from behind the judges table and sprints out into the forest to get like action shots of all you guys. I love Franco LaCosta. He's one of the greatest bystanders of all time. But in week two, you get another group date. They don't actually show us the group date. Later, some footage comes out that shows you reaching your hand into boxes full of bugs and stuff to try and get these diamond rings. But we only get to see the after party of that in the actual document. Did the producers ever explain why they cut that out to you? Or did they, sometimes we know that producers call on the day of and say like, this is kind of what's going to happen in the episode tonight. Did they give you any kind of a heads up or anything about that?
No, I had no idea that was going to be cut until I watched it. And I was actually really sad because that was one of my favorite, like that was my favorite group date of the whole time I was there.
Oh God.
Wait, why?
It was so fun. We did like a relay race kind of thing. They showed this at Women Tell All. And so we like were paired up. I was with MJ and we drove around in these golf carts and we went from station to station and we did all these crazy things. And it was just really fun. The after party was the after party. They showed the after party.
Oh, yes.
You right. Show Matt. This is one of your iconic moments. You show Matt a picture of you and your mom, and you have long hair in the picture, and it starts this conversation about the role hair has played in your life as a Black woman. And I believe you shaved your hair off in quarantine with your roommate.
I did. Yeah. I love that you guys know what happened on this show more than I did. I do. I'm like, there was an after party, right? You're like, yes.
It was June 12th.
Yeah, right. June 12th. I decided to shave my head and me and my roommate did it in my bathroom here in this very apartment. But yeah, it was a big moment for me. And it was like, I don't know. It was really important to me that I wanted to talk about it with Matt. I didn't know if they were going to air it. I didn't know how it was going to go. But I'm glad that they did air it and then ended up getting me the group date rose that night. So it went pretty well.
Yes. Yeah. A 0-point rose. Very, very exciting. Were you surprised that they included this in the edit, this conversation? Because to my knowledge, we've never had a conversation like this.
Yeah. I mean, based on what you said before about, you know, them scrambling to find a Black bachelor because of what was going on in the Black Lives Matter movement. It kind of makes sense on that train of thought, why they included it. I would love to think that they just included it because it was a great conversation and they wanted their Black viewers to feel seen and included.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll never know why they chose to, but I'm really happy they did. I think when I started watching the show back when I was home, it was just all going by so fast that I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much was not going to be included. So then when it came to that week, I was like, okay, well, it wouldn't really make sense for them to show me getting the group date rose if they didn't show our conversation. So then I was like, okay, they probably will show it.
And then the week that that aired, you also made a fantastic parasocial play, an image on your main grid with the caption that said, I'm not my hair. Did you intentionally time that play with that episode? And if so, how often does that happen? Are like all of the players basically kind of waiting to see what's in the episode and then pumping out social media that is germane to it?
That was definitely intentionally timed. I figured that if it aired, then there would be a lot of people watching it and then they would, you know, want to know my hair story. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll post that and make a TikTok. And then I was on Bachelor Happy Hour and Rachel Lindsay had asked me about it. So we talked a lot about my hair then. And they were like, oh, we really want to see the footage of you shaving your head. So then I ended up, that's why I ended up posting that like all at the same time. And then do people intentionally do that? I mean, I definitely was intentional about it. I'm not going to lie. I thought about like what happened on the show and I thought about what might air in the episodes. And then I would see like trending audio on TikTok and be like, oh, I'm going to make a TikTok about that when that episode comes out. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. That's like the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just smart to like, you know, go with the momentum while people were on my page. So
totally.
Yeah.
The following week, you find yourself on one of the most forced violent group dates in history, a literal boxing match this time. Is there any point in the process when producers let you know you might have to get punched in the face in service of finding love?
I mean, we didn't know what the dates were until obviously the date card. Well, we would guess like the date card is red and it's like, I don't know what the date card said that week. You probably know.
Yeah, it said you have to fight for love. Or are you ready to fight for love is what it said.
That's what it said. Are you ready? And we audibly groaned when this date card was read because we were like, oh my God, we're going to have to hit each other again. Like we were like, because we had the bridal date. And then there was another date that I'm forgetting in between. Was there not another date in between this? Whatever. There were so many dates where I felt like there was violence. And so when it said, are you ready to fight for love? We were all like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. So then we get there, there's a boxing ring and we all were trying to like convince ourselves that this is not what we were doing. Like we saw the boxing ring and we were like, I think like there's gotta be some funny aspect. Like they're going to put like, I don't know, something slippery on it to make it funny, like anything. I was like, there's no way the whole day is just us actually boxing. I was like, there's just no chance. And then that's what it was. And I couldn't believe it. we were not happy.
They did kind of try and trick you because the first half of that group date in the day anyway, was you guys all went out into the woods to like just train with, I believe it was an Olympic boxer. And so it's like, okay, we're just doing a workout. And then at a certain point, Dark Lord Harrison emerges and he says, now the next part of the date is you guys have to actually get in this ring and beat the shit out of each other. And I remember Kit Keenan is in the document just like, oh, you can see her face falling. She does not want to be there. Is anybody at that point are you discussing amongst players ways to get out of this? Are any of you openly objecting to either the producers or to each other?
I don't think there was a way to, like, I don't think anyone thought there was a way to get out of it. Like we were there. We obviously wanted time with Matt and what were you going to do? Just not, I mean, I guess you could, you know.
IFI. Yes. My back hurts. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a risky move though. Cause like, you don't know what's going to happen with that. It could go one, like you could be, you know, ill or injured. And then that could get you more time with Matt because he feels bad for you.
Exactly.
Or that could just get you on the bad side of some people you don't want to be on the bad side of.
Yeah. And it was tougher too in the bubble seasons because like if you would have done a real IFI.
If you had to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Take a hit to the face, hit the ground. Now you're out of the bubble and you get sent home.
Yeah. No, we were all.
Not worth the risk.
We were all not, not happy. We didn't want to do it. Yeah.
speaking of things that made you all not happy, this is also the week that five new players come in.
Oh my God.
It is something that we've never seen in the history of the show. I mean, there's been seasons that have added new players, like a couple, you know, all-stars on their second tour, but we haven't seen anything like this. And to us, it felt very much like this engineered scheme to disrupt the whole season. And it seems like it worked. What was that like when you realized that there's going to be five new people coming in?
I mean, it was genuinely shocking just because at the beginning of our night one, they had said that this was the most women they'd ever had in a cast. And it was like 32 of us, I think, at this point. And so the last thing I thought that was going to happen, like, I'm sure I thought there was going to be like twists and turns, you know, there's always surprises at rose ceremonies. But we were just sitting there and one girl came in and then another girl came in and then another girl came in. And we were just like, we don't know when it's going to stop. Like, we had asked them when they were coming in. We're like, are there more? Like, how many more are there?
How many are you?
How many are you? And they had we had gone upstairs to look out of the window because they were like, yeah, we need you guys upstairs. And then we went to look out of the window and then we saw limos and we were like, what in the world? Like, I thought it was just going to be somebody from a previous season or something. That's what I thought. But then it ended up being five. Like, we were looking from the window and we're like, we don't know who these people are. And then it was five of them. But that was the night I had a rose already. So I was a little bit more chilled than everybody else.
But like, are you guys talking amongst yourselves? Like, do you know that this is a producer scheme? Is anybody having that conversation in the player pool? Like, hey, chill out. This is just the producers trying to fuck with us. We can't let this get to our heads. It didn't seem like it to me.
I don't think a lot of people thought like that. Like, I think the environment is already so like a high like intensity that people were just mad. Yeah. Like, it didn't matter. If I had been like, oh my God, guys, chill out. Like, this is just the producers messing with our head. It wouldn't have mattered. Like, it worked.
Right.
So yeah. So it was like, it doesn't matter if I announced that this is what's happening. Everyone was pissed. And there was no changing that. It was just like, it felt like we were starting over because we had just, I don't know how many girls left the rose ceremony before, maybe like seven or something. And then like five more came. So it was like that last week had just never even happened. It was like, oh, right. Reset. Here we go.
God.
Yeah. Stressful.
A little bit.
The following week, you get another group date. And this time you get the honor of the farm obstacle course, shoveling cow shit, feeding goats. At this point, are you starting to wonder if you'll get a date that isn't absolute torture?
Okay, at this point, I was like, it's time for me to get a one-on-one. Like, I was the person that was sitting there when they were reading the date card, like waiting for my name now to be called because everyone else seemingly had gotten a one-on-one already. So by the time we got to the farm date, I was like, okay, what the hell? Another group date. But yeah, the farm date was, we were actually happy about it because it was like chill. Like, we didn't have to hit each other. We didn't have to fight. We did, like, after the boxing date, it was really, truly like, it was like we were so relieved to go to a farm. Like, I was happy to shovel some shit. I was like, I'm happy to shovel shit and like milk a goat as long as it doesn't have to be like anything crazy. Like, we were truly happy about that.
So like, in those kind of moments, are any of you saying to each other, like, how crazy is this that this thing we're in is supposed to be about us finding love with this guy, and now we're all just happy to be shoveling shit instead of punching each other in the face?
Yes, I definitely was. I was like, this is crazy.
And what are those conversations like in the player pool? Like, are you guys, you know, encouraging each other? Like, fuck it, we just got to get through this. Come on, we can get out of here and get some Instagram followers. or like, how does that go? What, I'm so curious just about the interactions in the player pool when things like this happen.
We kind of were just like, I don't know. We were just happy to be like, it sounds so ridiculous. It's like, yeah, we were just happy to be shoveling shit. I understand what you're saying.
See how that sounds.
Yeah, no. I lost my train of thought. The first thing you said was like, are we encouraging each other?
Like, what are you guys saying to each other when it starts to dawn on you that this thing you're in is so bizarre that you find yourself happy to be shoveling shit instead of committing acts of violence against one another in service of whatever the producers are doing.
Yeah. We all kind of would just be like there would be moments on each group date where we would look at each other and be like, I don't know what I did in my life to end up here.
Oh my God.
We literally said that to each other all the time. Like we would just be like having an outer body experience. Like, I don't know how I ended up here.
Did you know that in the first few seasons of the show, all of the group dates were like fancy, like let's go to Vegas, let's fly to Vegas and eat a fancy meal.
Okay. You know what? Particularly for our season, especially since I've watched other seasons, I was kind of like, what the fuck is this? Because it was COVID. I think that's why our season, the dates were so like stale, reused, and like they were trying to be innovative in some way by making us do crazier and crazy stuff. When I think before it was like, okay, cool. You could go on a helicopter or like romance or whatever. But because they didn't have much to work with because we're in this bubble, I think that's why the dates were so crazy. And so when we were there, we were just like, is this The Bachelor or did I sign up for Fear Factor? Like that's what I said on the date that they didn't show because we were sticking our hands into cockroaches and eating like ghost pepper hot sauce. And I was like, this is Fear Factor. I'm on Fear Factor.
Yeah. But I mean, they do Fear Factor dates quite a bit. Obviously, I mean, the Ultimate Viking did one on his season of Bachelorette where they had to eat the dead fish heads and all that shit. And, you know, speaking of like recycled dates, the following week, you then are on another recycled group date, which is a copy of a date that happened in season 22, where you and the rest of the players get split up into teams and you go bowling. This is exactly what they did on Ari Leyendyke's season. And the exact same thing happens where they tell the winners, you're going to get special time with The Bachelor. But then at the after party, the losers show up too. And so you at this point had already been on a group date where the winners do get the actual play for time reward.
Right.
And now in this one, you get shafted. What does that feel like? You're like, finally, I won. This is great. And then nope, fuck you.
I predicted it, to be honest, because again, I've watched this show. I've seen that episode. And there were only four of us on the winning team. So I was like, there's no shot they let us each just have like an hour with Matt. Like they're going to bring them. They're going to bring them. Mm-hmm. So like when they actually did show up, I was like, oh, shocker. Here you guys are. But yeah, I don't know if the rest, I mean, I don't know. I made my opinion clear. So I think the rest of my teammates were not shocked either because I was like, guys, they're coming. We were skeptical.
Yeah.
There's a catch. I know this.
They're coming.
We're not in shit and punching.
But I did get to talk to them before the rest of them got there. So I was like, okay, at least I got to talk to them before they came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was this your last week five?
Yes. Yeah, that's the end of me.
And so you never got a one-on-one the whole season. Did you... When you leave the show, after having had that experience, you went on a bunch of different group dates and they were torturous in one way or another. You never got the one-on-one date.
Yeah.
Did you feel that that was a decision made by Matt James or by the producers?
In the beginning, when the dates were chosen, it made sense to me. Like I was like, okay, I think he really likes this girl. Like you can tell when he talks to this girl, like that's someone he's into, or like, he gave her a rose really early on in the ceremony, which I personally thought was important, but everyone else didn't agree with me. Like, I thought if you get a rose, like in the beginning, like he likes you. And I stand by that.
Yeah.
We think that too.
I mean, statistically, it's true.
But yeah. So like the girls that got one-on-one dates in the beginning were like girls on the first night that had gotten roses very early on. And I got the third rose on night one. So I was like, oh, he likes me in my mind. So then as the weeks and weeks go on and it's the fifth date card that I'm on for a group date, I was like, okay, towards the end, I was just like, okay, I don't think he's making like these decisions anymore. And that's just my opinion. I don't have any proof on that. But towards the end when like Katie got a one-on-one and then who else, somebody else got a one-on-one that I was just like, that should have been me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think, yeah, that's when I started to question, how they were being decided on. And then I wasn't necessarily the most forthcoming person when I was being interviewed. Like I'm not a super emotional person. I'm not super like dramatic or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty chill and it's hard to get a rise out of me. And so I understood why, if Matt wasn't the one making those decisions, why I wasn't chosen, because like maybe they wanted other people that were going to be more like dramatic or entertaining for TV purposes or whatever. Like I was there trying to make a connection with Matt. Yeah.
What were some of the tactics that producers would use in those ITMs to try and get, in quotes, a rise out of you?
I mean, I don't think they were... let me figure out how to phrase this. I'm not trying to get in trouble, guys. Just don't get me in trouble.
No, it's you don't have to answer anything you don't want to, please. No obligation.
I'm just saying that other girls were more emotional than I was. Like if I was a producer and I wanted to see some anger, see some fireworks, see some tears, like I wouldn't have picked me. I would have picked somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
So between your games, you mentioned earlier that you had your first viral TikTok and that we gave it Parasocial Playlist. What was this TikTok? What went into it? And how did you feel once that happened?
Well, in between like filming being done and them announcing the cast, I was like, okay, I want to like tell everyone that I'm going on Bachelor and I want to do it in a creative way. And then that TikTok audio, Hot Girl Summer, like was going viral. Like, hello, what is it?
I'm busy right now. I'm doing...
Oh my God, I can't talk right now. Yeah, yeah. I can't talk right now. And then I just thought about like announcing the show. And then I saw the first promo and it had me kissing Matt in the clip with his eyes open. And I put the clip into a TikTok with the, like, I can't talk right now. I'm busy doing hot girl shit. And then it was me applying for The Bachelor and then me on The Bachelor. And that was my kind of like announcement. And yeah, it took off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered...
Hell yes.
...why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well... Unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co. to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Clues, a Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
And then you also engage, I mean, we said this up top, you engage in some very, I think, powerful parasocial play during the course of the season. Once the controversy with Chris Harrison is erupting, you and all the other players of season 25 post this union post, basically, on Instagram saying that you stand with Rachel Lindsay and condemning the racism that's inherent in the show. Do you know how did that play come about? Who kind of masterminded it, and who made the call to you, and who did you call, and how did that whole thing go down?
So it was me and four other of the Black women on my season, or five of us. And we were just like talking about the entire situation. Like, we had a group chat and we were just talking about everything. And like, I had met Rachel Lindsay before I was on the show, and like, I had her number, and we all just were like trying to figure out a way that we could show support for her, because like, what happened was fucked up. And yeah. So we kind of just like came up with it, and we're like, okay, well, I think if we did it, it'd be really powerful. But then we were like, okay, I think it'd be even more powerful if we got every single person in our season to do it. So then like, the group chat of us reached out to the big group chat, which had everyone from our season in it, and asked them, you know, like, hey, this is what we're doing. If you guys want to do it, we'd love that. And then the guys from Tayshia Clayshia's season ended up doing their own statement to support our statement. So then it like kind of snowballed from there. And it was really cool. It was like a cool way to kind of, I mean, we couldn't really clap back because we were like still under contract. And it was kind of scary to do it, because I was like, I don't know if like they're going to come for us, or like what's going to happen if we like kind of speak out against the franchise. But at that point, like, it was bigger than that to me. So like, we were like, we're doing it. Doesn't matter the consequences, we're doing it. And it was well received.
It's one of my favorite parasocial plays we've ever seen in the history of the game. I did not know that you were one of the originators of it. So I want to thank you. I mean, it is scary. I feel that vague fear.
But yeah, it was. And that's why when we first like were talking about it, we didn't really say who originated it, because we didn't want to be like singled out. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm like, okay, I think it's cool to say that.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I mean, that we talk all the time on our show about how like, players, if they collectivize, they unionize, they can take some power back from the producers and from the network and from the production companies that make this. And I think, I mean, you guys really, that was the first time we ever saw something like that. I hope it's not the last, but I think you really opened a door for what is possible parasocially from players. If you all stand together on something, some social issue or whatever it may be, shit happens. You can get things done. I was blown away by it when you guys did that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and then the guys joining in, and it created change.
It was like the catalyst of you know, of the downfall of DLH.
Oh my God, I just got chilled. No. Oh my God. I mean, there were so many contributing factors to that we've talked about, but like, I think that's one of the most powerful. You know, Rachel Lindsay, she's done a lot for the franchise.
Yeah.
And, I was happy that everyone stood with her. Back to the game. You join for Bachelor in Paradise for your next season, and you're brought in during guest host Tytus Burgess's tight ass party. Did you know that this is how you were entering the show, or were they just like, go down this tunnel? Who knows what will be there?
Yeah, you can take off the blindfold in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, take the blindfold off.
Ask no questions, remain silent.
Yeah, so I didn't know how I was going to go in. I've watched Paradise as well, so I assumed I would go in like everybody else. You know, you go down with a date card by yourself, which I eventually ended up doing, but I didn't know until like right the day, yeah, the day before, that I was going in some sort of party form. Mm-hmm. And they haven't really done anything like that except for maybe like the wedding when they like brought randos in. And so right before we entered the party, like, yes, we knew we were going into a party, and then we were all there together, like me, Alea, Alana, and McKenna, the four of us. So that's when, like, at first I didn't know who was going to the party with me. I didn't know who was going to be at the party, like nothing. But then the four of us like came together right before, and then we walked in and then saw, and they didn't know who was coming either. So it was just a big, big surprise for everyone.
And prior to that, are you just kept in a hotel room like a prisoner?
Yes.
Do you have no contact with anyone else except producers?
Correct.
Damn. And how often are they, do they even give you just like checkup calls once a day where they're like, hi, just wanted to make sure you're doing okay. Or do you hear nothing from them? Is it like they slide a tray of food under the door? Like what is that experience like being in the hotel room?
No, that was brutal. The hotel room was the worst part for me, just because I came in halfway through the season. So I was in there for a while and I didn't have, I had no contact with barely anyone. And it was Mexico. Like, I'm working on my Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish fluently yet. Like I couldn't watch anything on TV because there were no English channels. So it was really brutal. So I was very happy.
Do they let you take in a book or anything?
Yeah, I had books. I read through, I thought like bringing a few books would be fine. I was like, I'm not going to read that many books. And I read through 4 books in the first 2 days.
Cause you don't have a phone or anything. You don't have the internet. It's crazy.
It was bad. I was doing crossword puzzles. I was doing word searches. I was doing exercises. Like it was just, counting the minutes.
When you finally entered the beach, what was the vibe like this season? I feel like this is the first season where we really had what we call company players, like players who host podcasts on the beach. Did you feel like that affected the dynamics on the beach? Were you like extra wary of the podcast hosts in general?
I didn't think about it when I first got there because I just feel like maybe if I'd come in day one, it would have been more apparent. Mm-hmm. But I came in the middle. No, I came in after Piper. So like the Piper, Brandon, Natasha, all of that had already happened. And then I was there for Joe, like, kicking them off the beach. But I had already met like Natasha and hung out with her in New York. And I felt like I already had a relationship with all of them. So it didn't like really cross my mind until maybe Tia came in. And Tia wasn't a podcast host yet at the time, but it was just clear that like some people were favored and some people weren't. That's how I felt about it. Like, that's when I realized like, oh, we're playing different games.
And how was that like favoritism expressed? What made you start thinking like, wait a minute, they're getting to eat not like just regular cheese quesadillas all day long? Or like, what was the thing, It's like, wait a minute, I don't have to just eat pizza and chicken nuggets?
No, we all had the same, we all had the same food.
The same food, that's good.
I'm pretty sure somebody else has said this publicly, so I really don't think I can get in trouble for it, but like, they had to go get like separate time away to like go film the podcast and stuff. So like they got like their electronics at some times, and like they were like, oh, and they were all like just very close with the producers. And like, yeah, they've been in this franchise for years, so that makes sense. But like some of these people are like friends, like good friends of Becca and Tia. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So it's just like, it's like if you go into an environment where some people are best friends with the people that run the show and some people aren't, like that's how it was.
Well, I mean, they set some people up. What they did to Ivan Hall, who you had a couple of conversations with over the course of Paradise after your exchanging of roses with Aaron Clancy. But I think recently he's talked about that, how a producer just came into his hotel room, dropped off a cell phone that was open with the room number of Alexa Ray Caves, who he told them he wanted to come there to meet. They set him up.
Yeah. I mean, I this is when the storm happened. Mm-hmm. So we had to go.
The storm. So we had to go. Wait, was that air quotes on the storm? Was there no storm?
Look, I didn't see a raindrop is all I have to say.
When they came back the next day and there was like shit, they had like a plant was knocked over and there was a chair knocked down. I was like, the producers fucking knocked over that plant, that chair. There's no way. There's no way.
Oh my God. I was tricked. I was tricked.
I think that there was genuinely supposed to be a storm. And like the house that we're staying in is like, it's open. Like it's an open resort situation. So like if there was a really bad storm, like, yeah, we would be fucked because there really aren't like walls. So I think there really was a storm coming. I do think it was just exaggerated quite a bit.
Oh my God.
I don't know what happened in that hotel room with the phone and but like he had made it clear that he wanted to see Alexa, that like he wanted to be on the beach for Alexa. He was waiting for Alexa. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if that was done on purpose. Like it's just, there were too many things that didn't add up. Yeah.
You mentioned that you got there after the Brendan Natasha Piper thing happened. Are you friends with Piper?
Yeah.
Did she explain what had happened to you? What did you think about that whole situation?
So like Piper didn't want to go to Paradise at all. Honestly, neither did I. Like a lot of us, especially the people of color, were like, we're not fucking going. Like, look what happened last season. So then, you know, we had a lot of conversations and we were told that it was going to be like fun and different and yada, yada, yada.
This will be fun and different. Please come to the beach. Yeah.
Sounds like bigger air quotes than the storm.
Fun and different. Shit.
Right.
It was different. I'll give it that.
So anyway, I decided to go. Everyone else decided to go or not go for their own reasons, whatever. But Piper like had to work, like she has a full-time job. And so she was like, I literally actually can't go because of work. And I was like, okay. And then I was in quarantine. Like I was in my room with no phone, like no access to anything that was going on. So then when I walked on the beach and saw Piper, I was like, wait, what? Like I was genuinely shocked that she was there because we both live in New York together. So like I hang out with her all the time. And I truly had no idea that she was there. So that I was even shocked. And then I found out like from everyone else, like, this is what happened. This is what was going on. Like Natasha had told me her side of things because we went on a double date together with Damar and Ed. And so she had told me everything that happened.
Oh, right. The painting date.
Yeah. They didn't really show much of that either. But yeah, she had told me what had happened, but I was kind of just like, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't here. And so I was really shocked when I watched it back because I truly had no, like, I did not know what went down.
Well, they got super vilified for obviously having like a prior relationship, but also they had them on camera talking about Instagram followers.
Yeah.
Does everybody else at least talk about it kind of casually? Like, what are your numbers at? Or, oh my God, this happened to me when I posted this. Or do people also talk about casually, like who is hosting a podcast and stuff like that?
You mean like on camera or just in general?
Just in general on the beach, when you're there in Paradise, not on mic, not on camera, but when that stuff's gone, are you guys pretty open about that?
I don't, not like during filming. I think people would be afraid to like talk about that during filming. Mm-hmm. Obviously in that clip, like they didn't think they were being filmed at the time. I think that was obvious. But like in real life, yeah, we all talk about that. Like we all, you know, we even talk about like our rates and stuff to make sure like, hey, what'd you get from this brand? Like make sure like we're getting the same thing or like what happened when you worked with this? Like, yeah, we all talk about it. It's our job.
That's great.
But it's unspoken that like people don't really talk about it on camera.
Like, I don't know. I feel like some people are like a little bit, I don't know. We're up on their high horse about that, about like, oh my God, like I can't believe they're talking about Instagram followers. And I'm like, we all, if you're not dumb, you know that going on this show is probably going to get you a follower or two. Like, it's just realistic. Like, I'm just a realistic person. Like, I just don't think that it necessarily has to be two separate things to be like going for the right reasons and going and like hoping to get followers.
Yes, of course. They're the same fucking thing. I would just say, I have a question. Is one of those people that you think's up on the high horse? I'm not going to, you know, mention last names or anything, but is the first name grocery store?
Is the first name grocery store. Oh my God.
No need to answer.
No, I actually wasn't talking about him. I was talking about, there were some girls I remember, we were like sitting by the pool whose first or last names I won't mention, but they were just like going in and like going on about like, oh my God, I can't believe like this. And I can't believe that happened. And I was just like, we all are doing brand deals. Like, let's calm down. Like
It's very interesting, that element of the game to me. I liken it a lot to pro wrestling. Pro wrestling has a term called kayfabe, which is basically like the wrestlers never, when they're in the ring at least, don't break character. And for a long time, up until kind of contemporary era, they wouldn't even break character when they were just out in the world. But I think in Bachelor, that maintenance of the idea of for the right reasons is kayfabe. And at this point, talking about Instagram followers or podcasts or any of that shit is for the wrong reasons. And so especially when you're on camera, but even when you're not, if you're like a podcast host too, you have to uphold it. You're always just adamantly against that. And meanwhile, you know, grocery store has a million followers plus, and he's doing all these podcasts. So it's clear that he's like at least a little bit indulging all that shit too.
You just calling him grocery store is so funny to me.
I didn't make that up. He fully accepted the name. That's not on me.
There was a scene where people were, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were sitting on the edge of the pool and they were like, can you believe it? Seems like they just want to be here to be on television. And I was like, but they're saying this to a camera. It was wild.
While you're on television.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of Thomas too. And like the whole reason he became a villain on KD season was because he said that, yes, there was a thought that crossed his mind about being the Bachelor. It's like, what? Like, yeah, everyone's mind, it's crossed everyone's mind as a possibility, like that if you go on this show.
Not Mike Johnson. Never crossed his mind. He didn't even know that there was a show called The Bachelor. He thought it was just The Bachelorette.
Oh my God.
We talked to Peter Weber, and he mentioned that in his season of Bachelorette, there were actually producers who talked to them before the season and said, some of you are going to come out of this with like Instagram followers and you're going to be famous. And one of you might even be The Bachelor. So at least on that season, on Hannah Brown's season, producers came out and actually said, like, you need to kind of prepare for this or be thinking about it. And so then to vilify somebody for thinking about the very thing a producer told you to think about is crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. But that's what producers do.
Yeah.
Chelsea, I have a question for you. I think everyone is dying to know.
Oh, God.
What happened to the podcast? Exes in the City, four single 20-somethings living in the city, a podcast with Chelsea Vaughn, last name unknown, Kit Kinnon, Abigail Herringer, and Piper James.
Okay, it wasn't going to be a podcast. It was going to be an Instagram live series.
Ooh.
Oh.
We were going to go live weekly and talk about, you know, everything that happens in New York, dating life, friendships, whatever. We had to put a pin in that. We were still under contract at the time. And you can fill in the rest of the blanks for why you can't find anything about that on the internet.
Yeah. There's been so much stuff like this that has come out in the past couple of years. Jed Wyatt had a podcast called Jed Talks that he was billing as like the first episode was going to be him setting the record straight on if he cheated on Hannah Brown and who his ex-girlfriend was and all that stuff. And supposedly it was recorded, ready to roll, and then never came out. That podcast just died, you know, before it was ever really released.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff gets silenced, I feel like.
But I think people were more excited about Exes in the City.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hear about the Jed thing. That makes sense why they wouldn't let him, you know, tell his truth or whatever.
I feel like it's just a bad move, though. Like, they should want all players out there doing podcasts, social media, as much as possible. They should want people from their show promoting their experience in the show, their identities on social media, all of that shit. And the fact that they want to control it so tightly is A, strange, but B, counterproductive. I mean, it obviously is to uphold the lie of the show, but I don't think they know exactly what they should be doing with social media. They've been fucking around with it for a long time, but they still don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I feel like if I'm successful and I was on your show and I'm known for being on your show, then you're successful. Like the more successful I am, that should be a good thing for you. So like, I don't understand why we can't do more when we're still under contract. And it's like people that go on Love is Blind or like Too Hot to Handle, whatever, like Love Island, immediately are doing things right after they come off the show. And I think that it helps them and it helps everyone involved. So I don't know, they have different contracts. So I think it's a little bit old school of them to like keep us, I don't know, controlled for a while. It's like,
totally. I mean, The Bachelor was born in an era pre-social media, 2002. I don't even think you had MySpace yet at that point. Maybe you did, but it was right around then, but like certainly no Instagram, certainly no Facebook, certainly no modern social media. And I think as that stuff has started to evolve, it has caused certain problems for the show with like Caitlin Bristow accidentally revealing who her fucking winner was. Shit like that, you know? And so they view it, I think, as a bad thing that takes control away from them, which is just not the case. It's like social media is more important than reality TV at this point. Reality TV fuels social media and they should embrace that, I feel like. But
yeah. I also think that like the streaming aspect of like those other shows is really helpful because everybody has Netflix and Hulu and wants to watch it that way. Like who's sitting down and turning on cable and watching ABC anymore? Like I feel like that's part of the reason why it's going.
I guess me.
Yeah. Okay. But like everybody else watches.
Cable?
No, I have YouTube TV, but I had cable until last year. I still had cable. I was still watching that shit on ABC every Monday night.
Okay, well, nobody that I know has cable. So it's like, that's why I'm like, I think if it was streaming, it might not be as, I don't know. Everyone feels like it's like the show is just going downhill now because it kind of is.
It's just a price point, I think, for Warner Brothers owns the show, but ABC is the one that broadcasts the show. So right now, whatever deal they're in, and they just renewed, obviously, for the next season of Bachelor to be on ABC, whatever deal exists is still lucrative for both of those companies in a way that is like, at this point, less trouble than figuring out, okay, well, what are we going to do now? If we yank Bachelor from ABC, that means very likely it goes to HBO Max, which is Warner Brothers' streaming platform. And does that get them more viewers? Like, how does it become as profitable as it has been for the past 20 years? The time is coming for sure, but not for another year at least.
Yeah.
As a longtime watcher of the show, why do you think the show is going downhill?
I think it's that reason. I think it's the streaming. And I also think that people don't care to watch the way that this format of a show is anymore. Like, I think not that people were more dumb in the past, but I think that like, people were more willing to believe that like reality TV was real because you couldn't really pull back the curtain like you can now that there's social media. Like we can see what everyone's doing at all times and everyone can do podcasts and do lives and talk about things. Before it was like, you really watch reality TV and you're like, well, wow, like that's what happened on America's Next Top Model. Like I think now people are more informed and then they watch it and they're like, well, this is stupid. I want to watch like something that's more real. And I think that's how people feel about The Bachelor. They think it's dumb. And it's like, okay, I don't want to watch this anymore. People are like pretending to all fall in love with one person. And like the format of 30 people and one person is a little bit unrealistic. So I think that's why people enjoy Paradise more, because it's more realistic to be like, okay, 12 guys, 14 girls, like people really can find love.
Yeah. Well, and it has a bunch of successful couples that have come out of it. So there's actual proof to back that up, you know, that thought.
Right.
But I would also argue though, that things like Love is Blind or Love Island or any of that shit, I think is just as fake as Bachelor.
Oh, I agree. I think it's very produced as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's the format that makes it seem a little bit more realistic for people to watch.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take itself as seriously.
Right. Like they joke. It's a joke. Like they make fun of themselves on the show.
And it's that kayfabe thing, like with Love Island or most of the island shows, I would say, they're presented almost as games. They say like, you know, in like Fuckboy Island, it's like some of these people are here to win money and some aren't, for example. But Bachelor, I think one of its kind of like, it's one of its hallmarks, but it's also maybe its death knell is the idea that they never say it's a game. This is only ever about finding love and that's it. It's always for the right reasons, 100%, and anything else won't be tolerated. And as we said in the very beginning of this, that's just not true. For the right reasons and for the wrong reasons are both part of this. They are two sides of the same bachelor coin.
Yeah. I mean, on Love Island, you win money and like there's no money on Paradise. It's just about love.
There's only money if you're Michelle Young.
Yeah, what? Oh my God, I forgot about that. So wild.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
We're almost through the second month of this year, but that doesn't mean that you should forget about those New Year's resolutions, your new goals, especially your skincare goals. Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results. And your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty. I've been using this stuff. Look at me. Look at my face, Pace Case.
You're glowing.
How young do I look? Tell me. Tell me the number.
That's a Pace Case glow. You look like a little baby.
Thank you. That's the look I'm going for. And I put the stuff on at night, Dime's eye cream. And then they have a dewy day cream that I also use. And this is the result.
I've literally never used a moisturizer before. Mm-hmm. I've always had oily skin, but now it's getting to that time. And I made one of my New Year's resolutions to be to do my skincare routine. And I'm using the dewy day cream in the morning. I keep it on the left. Using the restorative night cream, I keep it on the right. It's bim, bam, boom. I know which one to use. And now my face is moisturized all the time. And it's so nice.
You look like a baby as well.
Thank you. I was waiting for it. A little slow. But this takes the guesswork out of the routine. So this is part of the work system, the two moisturizers. There's also a sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream. I can't wait to try that one as well. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars.
This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Speaking of important things, Chelsea, you won a golden horseshoe when you were digging through the goat shit. Do you still have this golden horseshoe? Is it for sale?
I actually do have it. It's in my closet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I kept it. Yeah, that was one of my most exciting yet disappointing moments of the show because because I'm digging for this horseshoe. And they've told us before we start, like Farmer Ty or whoever it was like, you guys, this is going to be the most amazing prize for whoever wins this horseshoe. Like, you want this horseshoe. Like, you're going to, everyone's going to be jealous of what you get when you get the horseshoe. And so we're on our hands and knees, like digging for this thing. And it's like, I wish I could, I don't know exactly where it is. I would pull it out for you. But like, it is the color of hay. Like you, we were looking for like gold. And it's the exact same color as the hay. So we're searching for this thing forever. I finally find it and I'm like, woo, this definitely means I'm going to get some extra one-on-one time with Matt. Like, this is so worth it. No. I got no time. I got nothing.
What was the prize? Did anything come with it, or was it just the horseshoe was the prize itself?
The horseshoe was the prize after all that. I was like, you have got to be joking me. And like, honestly, I think if somebody else had found it, I really think if somebody else had found it, they would have given them time. I think whoever found it, the prize was going to be based on that.
Interesting.
That's what I think. I think like when I found it, they were like, all right, not the worst, not the best, but like, let's just not give her some time.
I think that they do make decisions based Absolutely. On that and like have relay races and they're like, oh wait, that person won.
Yes. Right.
It means nothing.
Or they'll give like an MVP to somebody in like a soccer game or a football game, but the MVP will be on the losing team and the MVP also gets to come.
Gets
you know,
to
shit
come.
Like
yes.
that.
MVP is based on some sort of amorphous qualities that no one shall know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do believe that. Yeah, like if somebody else had won Serena P or something, like they probably would have gotten extra time or whatever.
Yeah.
But I did get first at that rose ceremony that night. That date, I got to talk to Matt first. So I guess that was my prize.
And who set that up? The getting to talk to him first. Producers come to you and they're like, you go talk to him now.
Yeah, like you don't let me not get in trouble. But like it's right. I don't get to decide the order.
Understood.
Is what yeah.
Let me ask you this. In addition to the Golden Horseshoe, do you have any other artifacts from your time in game, either Paradise or Bachelor?
I have my date card from Paradise because that was my first one-on-one. I finally got a one-on-one with Aaron. So that was my very first and only one-on-one. So I have the actual date card. And it says, the bigger the hoops, the bigger the chance of finding love.
Do you have that framed somewhere?
No, it's right here in my desk. I have it.
Oh my God. I would have that thing in a giant gold frame that takes up the size of my entire wall if I had something like this.
I should put it.
And you should put up like hoops you wore on the show next to it.
Yeah.
I should put the date card with the golden horseshoe.
That is amazing.
And you know what else I actually have is the outfit that we wore to the boxing date.
That's pretty cool.
I've got the like robe and the shorts.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, other than that, just scars.
Yeah, just the scars.
Just great memories.
Yes.
Just a little Serena Pitt blood on one of the boxing gloves.
That was, I don't know who fought her. Not Jasenia. Rachel. I think it was Rachel Kirkconnell. Yep. That's what I kept from the show.
Well, what about the friendships?
Oh, yes, of course. No, I actually do have amazing friendships from the show. And a lot of the girls from my season ended up in New York. So it worked out. So a lot of us are here and still hang. I didn't really make any friends on Paradise, I guess. Because like, I had already known.
Next time.
Yeah, I knew everyone there pretty much. But I also feel like because I came in halfway through, like everyone had bonded on the first couple of days.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, everyone was like haggard and like so tired. Like they weren't even excited to see me. They literally were just like, hey.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool.
Paradise is such a hard game. If you come in late, you're at an extreme disadvantage in a way that does not exist in the main game, I think. Because everybody's paired off. And like you're saying, they've been drunk for like a week straight. They're all just like sunburned and fucking ready to die.
Yeah, they're hot, exhausted, like overheated. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw McKenna's breakdown when she realizes she has to go out with Ed.
Oh, God.
That was brutal. She was the last one that came in. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Like I thought I had it bad, but she came in last. Oof.
Are you still watching the show?
Actually, no. The only reason I watched Katie's season was because I wanted to see the guys that I had just like dated or whatever in Paradise. And then the only reason I watched Michelle's season is because Michelle is my friend and I wanted to like support her in her season. So then once I was like, okay, I actually don't know a single person on this season anymore, I don't have to watch it. So Clayton's season, I didn't watch a second of. And I, that's like the first season I haven't watched in, I mean, I watched so many seasons. Like I used to watch every season. Yeah, Clayton's is the first season I just really didn't watch because I was like, I need a break. Like I unfollowed all the Bachelor accounts. I unfollowed you guys, even though I didn't want to. I love you guys. I really
do. That was going to be the next question.
No, I really do.
What the heck?
Yeah, we noticed.
No, I did not want to unfollow you, but I had to commit. I unfollowed every single account that had to do with The Bachelor and some people that I just didn't like. And I just like needed to cleanse for the feed. But I follow you guys on my Finsta.
Oh, okay. Oh, we'll take God. It.
Are you gonna pick back up for Double Bachelorette season? Or are you out for good?
I have no plans to watch that. I'm just not invested now that I don't know any of the girls. Like I didn't watch them, so I don't care to watch their season. But I will probably watch Paradise because I know people on Paradise and I know some people. Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure some people from my season, Matt's season, are gonna go. So yeah, and I just, it's more fun to watch. So I think I will watch Paradise.
So you're not totally out then. You're still keeping a toe in the pool.
I guess with my Finsta and my Paradise watching. Yeah.
Once your Finsta is out, then you're really out.
I'm going to watch Paradise. I'm not totally out. I'm out of the main game, I guess.
Yeah. Out of the main game. Would you ever go on any reality TV show again, Bachelor or otherwise?
I wouldn't rule it out. I love reality TV. Okay. And apparently since I was 10, I've been wanting to go on America's Next Top Model. I wanted to be on reality TV.
Right.
So I would go on something else. Like I like competition shows. Like I would go on The Challenge or like Big Brother or something.
That'd be awesome.
I know. I would love to go on The Challenge. I used to watch that one too, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, wherever you wind up, we will certainly watch you because you're one of our favorite players from season 25, of course, but
yeah. I'll follow you on my Real Prof, my Finsta.
Yeah, we follow you on 10 different accounts apiece, just to let you know, okay?
Honestly, I was so excited for this interview because I do feel like you produce some of the best social media of anyone.
Oh my God, thanks guys.
It's true. I feel like we've given you Parasocial Play of the Week a lot. What are you up to now? Where can people follow you?
So I've been doing less modeling just because when COVID started, the industry just got like real crazy and then it hasn't really come back as strong and the rates are like super low. And I mean, just to be honest, like I make so much more money doing Instagram content and TikTok content than modeling. So I haven't been doing a ton of that, but I am working on some new projects in the future this summer and potentially beginning of next year. Things that you guys are going to be excited about.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I can say.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Does the first name of this project start with pod?
No, actually.
What? Oh. I thought maybe a podcast. I would have loved that.
Are you getting married to someone with the first name Grocery Store? Not saying who it is.
Right. And will you change your last name, which we don't know, to Joe?
No, they actually asked me to be the next Bachelorette.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, right.
Oh my God. There's the trailer right there. Can't wait.
That's the team.
Tallest Bachelorette ever with the best parasocial content.
Tallest Bachelorette. But you guys can find me at Chelsea Vaughn on everything, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. But yeah.
I can't wait for your secret project.
Me too. I'm super excited, but I'm like, do you have another hour that we can talk about whatever this may be?
I'm also like curious and I don't want to derail us, but you're like, I'm taking a break from modeling to do TikTok and Instagram. And I'm like, aren't they kind of the same thing? Is modeling becoming TikTok?
Yeah, no, it's very like, it's kind of synonymous at this point. Like I definitely do some partnerships where they ask me to model things, but then I also post them on my Instagram. So it's like, they've kind of all morphed into one as far as that's concerned. But I just haven't done any like runway or any like super traditional modeling in a while.
You make your own runway, Erin Clancy style.
What's your favorite platform, if I may ask?
Oh, my favorite platform for like me as a regular person, just to, like enjoy and have fun, is TikTok.
Okay.
But like for, yeah, no, it's TikTok actually. Because Instagram is just like not that much fun anymore. Like it just feels like work.
Yeah. Have you gotten into the metaverse at all?
What's that?
Virtual reality. I'm just curious. Look, you're a very astute parasocial player. You're on all the platforms. You're doing it at a very high level. And I'm always curious about, you know, somebody like you who understands this shit at a very deep level. Are you looking forward to the next thing? Like what's going to come after TikTok?
I'm really flattered by you guys. I don't necessarily understand that I understand it at such a deep level, but I think it's just like ingrained in me. Like I grew up with this, like yeah. I've had Instagram forever, you know, and Facebook and MySpace and all that. I don't know. I just feel like it's very time consuming and draining when there's like another platform. Like I'm not looking forward to another platform because then I have to get on it and understand it and be good at it and like be the first one to do things and gain some more followers on that. Like even people are like, I'm starting YouTube channels. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's enough already.
I think your ex paramour is into it. Matt James. He is in the metaverse.
He's selling NFTs. He's doing it all.
He's selling NFTs.
I mean, more power to him. I'm sure he's making bank. He's doing lots of stuff. I'm just sticking to Instagram and TikTok right now.
All right, fair enough. Well, whatever you move on to, we'll be watching for sure. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time to sit down and talk to us about all this stuff today.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm honored to be officially in the pit.
As are we.
Oh, honored and humble. We're honored. And yeah, I can't wait for these secret projects. We'll see if there's any strong parasocial plays about them to be discussed.
Yes, stay tuned and thank you for following me on all of your million accounts.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much to Chelsea Vaughn Hancock. We don't know her last name.
Why Hancock?
But I liked, because isn't that what you say for an unknown person, John Hancock?
It's Doe. John Doe.
Oh, John Doe. Excuse me.
John Hancock was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And it's just commonly known that he had the biggest signature on the document. So people will say, give me your John Hancock when they say, give me your signature.
All right. I've mixed up my metaphors once again. Chelsea Von Doe. Excuse me. go follow her right now if you want your parasocial experience to be leveled up. Thank you so much for your thoughtful answers to all of our questions. And Gore Girl Summer continues. There's going to be way more to come.
Absolutely. And thank you everyone who joined us for this one today. And be sure to check out our Twibbon coming up at the end of this week as well. As always, even in the off season, shit is popping off on a daily basis. There's some huge news. Obviously, what's been going on with Becca Tilley. We're going to be covering that in Twibbon and much, much more. So please join us for that. And before we go, as always, what is that Dwob at?
It has been 7,365 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then